Disclaimer: the following episode contains mention of violence and sexual assault. Listener discretion is advised. We do not support underage drinking, excessive drinking, binge drinking, or any other unsafe drinking behavior. Please drink responsibly, never drink and drive.
Hey guys, welcome to the Conundrum Bar. Join us every Friday for a new conundrum from murder, mystery, to supernatural occurrences. And we're your hosts, Lianza,
Natalia,
Raquel.
And we'll turn you over to Raquel to make our drinks for the day.
Okay, so today's drink is called Tropic Like It's Hot. It's frozen fruit. You can use whichever you prefer. Today we're going to be using frozen strawberries and frozen mangoes, along with, like always, lime. So, in your blender, put your strawberries. Alrighty, and then we'll squeeze one lime on top of our strawberries. Then top it with some ice.
Smoothies.
And we're saving more of our ice for the mango portion of it. Because you want the mango one thicker for some reason. Then you'll top it with some white rum. And I'm making all three drinks at once, so don't panic.
Okay, I was gonna say, you guys have fun tonight.
We both have extra bedrooms.
Alrighty, and then we'll also go with coconut rum. You can use a clear one or a one that has color to it. It's up to you. However much you like it, it'll just make it more pink instead of red.
Is that one just a guesstimate?
Yeah, I'm kind of following the lines of how it goes. And we'll see how good it tastes. Maybe we'll want more. Brace your ears.
Pretty good. I feel like Natalia is like probably the one that's getting the most alcohol out of everyone.
I think my cup's the biggest.
I feel bad.
I'm still in the process of making my new one. Daniel broke my last
one. Oh, you guys thought mine was big.
Yeah, mine might need it. Okay, now I'm gonna go wash this out. Okay, so now with the fresh, clean pitcher, add a banana.
If you could get it open.
What is happening?
It's not ready to come out of its shell yet.
You got the one unripe banana. Then add your mango.
Mango. Come on, Santa.
Wash my hand. I just washed the pitcher. You're not gonna die, I promise.
I was just kidding, I don't care.
And then top it with your ice. Then add your lime. Add some cream of coconut. This is where like a lot of the sweetness is, so add however much you like. Or four rotations. Okay, and then next, banana rub. Banana rum and the coconut rum are also lower in alcohol content, so.
Thanks for that. Putting that in, I was flinching there.
The white rum is probably the stronger of the all of the alcohol, so that's the one you'll mostly taste the strongest. So that's why you want a lot more sweetness. Watch your ears. We did it. That's mostly a afraid of the blade coming out.
That'd be dull.
Ah!
Dang, that looks like a whole banana coming out. Ice cream.
With it.
But we're on the right.
That's good.
Oh my gosh. I'm scared now.
Oh my god. Maybe next, maybe use a spatula if you're doing this at home.
This might be our biggest draw.
Thank you.
And there you have it. Drop it like it's hot. Today's conundrum involves nearly a whole town. Kenrex McElroy was such a notorious bad man that there was over 40 people to have been in the area when Ken was murdered in his pickup on Main Street. For almost 40 years, this little town kept a very tight lip on the secret of who killed Kenrex McElroy.
So everyone didn't like him that much?
Oh my gosh!
Because no one saw a thing.
I feel like they're in a fight club or something.
It almost seems kind of like that, like nobody wants to tell, but... I'll let you guys decide for yourselves on how you think this guy is. This is kind of a popular story-ish. I haven't heard of it, but Daniel was actually the one that told me to cover it because he thought it was interesting that a whole town would vigilante-style kill this guy. Ken was born June 1st, 1934 in Overland Park, Kansas. He was child number 15 of 16 children.
I could barely handle two brothers, let alone 16 other siblings.
Yeah, it was back in those days where there was pretty much the wife was pregnant every year forever. I couldn't handle
every year.
Tony and Mabel were his parents. They were poor tenant farmers, and I didn't know what a tenant farmer was, but apparently it's where you can rent aggregate land, you work it, and you live there. So it's like kind of almost like renting a... someplace, but you're working it in order to get the income to pay for your bills, and you get to live there. There's not too many of those around this area, so that's why I had no clue what it was. So Ken dropped out of school in 8th grade, and not long after, Ken had ended up falling off of a hay wagon and ended up having to have a metal plate put into his skull because of how bad he got hurt.
I'm just thinking to back then, like, a surgery like that, like...
Yeah, because 8th grade, you're, what, 13, 14? Mm-hmm. And he was born in 1934.
So this had to have been, like, in the 40s,
yeah,
or like maybe 50s.
Yeah, and then it makes you think, like, what type of plate back then? Because now it's so much more sophisticated.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit, Ken became a raccoon hunter, a cattle rustler, a small-time thief, and a womanizer.
This sounds like you're telling a Western, like.
I feel like I just stepped into,
like,
an old tale.
A raccoon hunter, a small-town thief, and a cattle rustler walk into a bar.
Yeah. Literally, a bar.
The raccoon hunter is at least a pretty honorable profession out of all of them. So for more than 20 years, he was suspect to many thefts, including, but not limited to, grain, gas, alcohol, antiques, and livestock. Which cattle rustling is what that is. Richard McFadden was Ken's lawyer through this about a 20-year span. So he ended up defending Ken at least 3 to 4 felonies a year.
What I gotta say is he must make good money stealing all the stuff to be able to afford a lawyer. Unless it was cheaper back then.
It could have been, but I mean, at some point I'd probably be like, to stop. Advice from your lawyer.
Well, he's getting the work, so.
So there was 21 times that he was indicted, but he escaped conviction every single time. There was alleged witness intimidation. Ken was mostly living in Skidmore, Missouri, which is a population of about 425 people.
So he probably stole from every single one of those people.
Yeah, so everybody, you know, definitely everyone knows everybody in that town. But today, there's only about 257 people living in Skidmore today.
Oh, so it's even smaller, dang.
So the population of the town just keeps going down and down. And he was father to, there's some sources that said 10 kids, and then there's some sources that said 15.
So anywhere between 10 and 15.
So yeah, I think I found about 10, but you guys can help me keep track because there's a lot of kids. So Ken was about 270 pounds with bushy black sideburns. He was a very big guy. And so let me show you guys a picture of him just so you can see how this guy looks.
What I'm picturing from a Princess Bride, the Princess Bride, the guy with the sideburns.
That's my picture right now.
I've never seen Princess Bride. That's good.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
So, here's him.
One of his dogs.
Oh, yeah, he looks just like him.
Is it?
Oh,
wow, yes, he does.
Right there. Okay. This guy right here.
I'm sorry, you got less hair, but...
I can find an exact timeline on all this information, so I try to keep it as well as I could get it, because it wasn't, like, written, because everything was alleged, so there wasn't, like, a lot of information.
If you think about 1930s, how much information would they, like, have, especially in a town with 400 people?
That's, too, why I think, like, some of the stuff might be, like, just people record. Yeah. Along the way, Ken was married 3 times. His first wife was named Sharon. She was about 15 when they first met. And sources says that he was at least 20. So this is still not okay.
Yeah.
It was about 1954, about this time when he married his first wife. He apparently beat her regularly. They had 2 children together. And by the time that Sharon had her second child, Ken had already found him a new victim. Sorry, girlfriend.
I feel like you tell a story that it triggers us every time.
Oh no, and all I keep thinking is your mom's name is Sharon.
I know, so I'm like,
yeah, sorry, Mom. Sally was only 13 and he was about 27. Yes. So this is like 1961-ish.
Why would our parents let her marry him?
It was different times.
And
I know, it's just, you're kind of...
There's a theme.
It's hard to think of back in the day. It's just hard to think of, like, that was okay back then.
Yeah. So he moved Sally into the family farm with Sharon and her 2 kids.
Were they trading their daughters to him?
For cattle?
No. But there's other children that might try to get swapped and traded in the story. This whole this story is, it's one that just makes you like, really?
I'm already taking a deep breath like 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
The way that this was worded, it made it seem like he still lived at home with his parents. And so...
Well, it happened. It's
just the way it was stated was just odd. So Sally ended up having 3 children with Ken, and Sharon had 2 more. So we're at... No, she had 2 before he met Sally, so then 3.
What's that called where you have multiple wives? So it's called polygamy?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what he's doing?
I don't think he is. Were they still married?
They're still married, apparently. Like, yeah.
Did they know about each other?
Yeah, she moved Sally into the house with Sharon's kids.
Oh, yeah, that was okay. Okay, so how many kids are we at now?
So Sharon had 4 total. Sally had 3.
6. So 7.
Oh.
7.
Yeah, so 7 kids so far. Not counting the mothers, you know, since they're technically still underage, still children themselves. I apologize if I'm being too overly salty or aggressive, but it pisses me off. Like,
well, everyone's got their things that trigger them, and that's one of ours.
Yeah.
Ken eventually found Alice. This is when he moved out of his family's house, and that's why I believe that he moved his 2 first wives in with his parents, because he said that he moved out of his parents' house at this time.
I've got to imagine that maybe he just moved out because he's got 7 kids and both his wives. Like, how much room do his parents have in their house? Especially if he's adding another woman to the mix.
Especially in the 1950s, like, houses were small.
Yeah, so I don't know. I couldn't find any real pictures of where they lived.
Especially, like, what if his 16 siblings are still there, too? Like,
that is also a possibility. Tan immediately started verbally and physically abusing Alice, just like his previous wives. And after Alice gave birth to her son, she moved out of Ken's home back into her mom and stepdad's home. She wanted to get away from him. And they lived in St. Joseph, which is about 49 minutes away. Alice's stepdad kept telling Ken to essentially shove it, like, go away, leave my family alone.
You got 7 other kids?
Yeah. And so, allegedly, this is one of the things that he got away with. He shot her stepdad in the leg through the living room window from their driveway.
You gotta imagine he, like, knew what he was shooting at if he's already a coon hunter and...
Mm-hmm. So, Ken got away with this one from allegedly threatening Alice's family, getting into a bar altercation with her stepdad that involved a shotgun. He stalked and sat out in front of the family's home. Alice's stepdad eventually dropped the assault charges because he, I mean, how far can you go?
Yeah.
And so.
Were the police doing anything?
I think they were trying, but they couldn't.
Find no concrete evidence.
Like, yeah, there's not, like, you know.
It was, I guess, like a he says type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, if you're shot in the leg.
I don't know how easily it was to trace bullets and stuff back then, too. I don't know if they were different than nowadays, or I don't know. And so, Alice ended up moving back in with Ken, and I assumed to stop the harassment her family was receiving.
Gosh, that poor girl.
Yeah.
So, according to the book, In Broad Daylight, it's like pretty much like a whole biography telling the story. Didn't read it. It was really long from the sections that I could get and read through. It brings up that Alice had 3 kids with Ken.
So shared.
No, because one had one. Remember the latest one that got beat up? And then another?
Yeah, total 3.
Oh, okay.
Alice had total 3.
Okay. So, Sharon, Alice. Are we at it?
Sharon, Sally, Alice.
Sally had 3,
Sally.
And Alice had another 3.
Okay, now that's 10.
Okay, so we're at 10.
So I did lie at the beginning. I found we did find more children. A couple more. So, as a welcome home gift, Ken found another girlfriend.
A welcome home gift?
I don't understand how he was able to get this many women to...
I don't know. If I was a 13 to 15-year-old girl and I saw this man, he would scare me. Honestly, like, I don't know how...
Maybe that's why, because they were scared of him. Maybe he threatened them.
It could be. And so his last wife was Trina McLeod. She was born in 1957. So in 1969 is when Ken and Trina met. She was only 12.
Oh my god. He's a pedophile. That's what he is. And
I don't know if that was marked back then, though, like the name or what.
Yeah. But, like, when you say wives, like, did they legally get married?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you can have, multiple wives at the same time type of thing. It's very confusing, but she was his last wife, for sure. She was in 8th grade at that time. He was 35 years old. And so he was 23 years older than her.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a brief list of the horrible things that he had done to her. He had sexually assaulted her repeatedly because they, you know, she's not of age. She cannot consent. He burned her family's house down and shot the family dog. Yes. Trina became pregnant at 14 with Ken's child.
It's 11.
Yeah, 11 children, and this is still. And
the police didn't do nothing with him getting with these young girls, and does they have full evidence right there that they're...
I know. Well, I don't know what I don't know when like sexual assault cases actually like.
Well, remember like when we talked about how was it Steven Stainer? How he like had a lot to do with changing like sentences and stuff.
I guess.
So it's possible that
it wasn't
at that time. It wasn't even something that they charged for. It wasn't something they arrested people for. Like,
it was just something that you shouldn't do.
After Ken had found out that Trina was pregnant, he moved her into his house with his third wife, Alice. apparently I'm still thinking that Sharon and Sally are with his parents or hopefully gone at this point. And so Trina had to drop out of school in ninth grade because she was pregnant and had to take care of a kid. 16 days after Trina gave birth, her and Alice ran away to Trina's parents' house. And I believe that this was the only child she had with him, but I could be wrong. I don't know for sure. This is kind of where...
Did she take her child with her when she ran away?
Yeah. And so Ken tracked him down and brought them back. And so that's in the process when he shot the family dog and burned down her parents' home.
I just got to think of, like, what his family, like, thought of this. Because my family's so involved in each other's lives. So once we would do one thing that's wrong or whatever, we all let each other know.
We're going to let you know that we don't approve.
I mean, we love you, but we don't
approve. Like,
we're probably all going to beat each other. Just kidding, guys. We don't abuse each other in this household.
And so McElroy found out that if he divorced Alice and married Trina, that he could avoid statutory rape charges.
That probably all didn't start changing till later.
I think so, and I think that's why I'm like, there had to be some kind of laws in place at this moment because he got this information.
Right.
And so after burning her family's house down and threatening to burn down their new home that they rebuilt, Trina's parents finally agreed to Ken and Trina's marriage.
Because you have to have consent from the parents.
Yes. Making the statutory rape charges disappear.
Let's check up.
So in June 1973, Ken was indicted for arson, assault, and statutory rape. He was arrested, arraigned, and released on only a $2,500 bail.
Do we know how much that was, like, equivalent to today?
I do not.
I'm Googling right now.
Okay, cool.
You said $2,500, right?
$2,500 in 1973.
So, $2,500 in 1970, that just went 70, to today, adjusted to today's inflation, would be $17,273.
That's kind of a bit, really?
Yeah. Hmm. He must have money if he was able to get out so quick.
He had to have had income coming from somewhere other
than... All the stuff he's stealing, maybe he's selling.
But could a town of 400 people have that much valuable stuff? Like, who are you going to sell it to? The neighbor? But
I mean, I guess he could go to, like, the next town over and try to sell it or something.
Maybe. Unless his lawyer was...
Yeah, the banana portion of this, the yellow, is really good. The strawberry part is a little, like, almost bitter, like... Not bitter, but, like, definitely isn't as sweet.
Yeah, so just make it mango, guys.
I think it can, like, maybe balances it out if you mix it together. So it's not too tart, but not too sweet.
So at this time, Trina and her newborn were placed in foster care in Maryville, Missouri. Yes, she's that young. Which, that, to me, should just let people know that it's not okay. And so once released, Ken stood watch in front of the foster home for hours on end, just staring. So he told the foster home that he'd trade girl for girl to get his child back, threatening that he knew the foster family's daughter's schedule, her bus route, and school. The foster family filed additional charges trying to get him away. And then in July 27th, 1976, Romaine Henry, one of Skidmore's farmers, accused Ken of shooting him twice with a shotgun after challenging Ken for shooting weapons on Henry's property. So Ken was charged with assault with intent to kill, but Ken denied he was ever on scene. Henry stated that Ken parked out in front of Henry's home at least 100 times. And at the trial, two raccoon hunters testified that Ken was with them hunting, nowhere near Henry's property. Ken was acquitted.
What the heck? Who would want to stick up for this guy?
He probably threatened them. I feel like he's threatening everyone to get what he needs.
Just like him.
I think he's just threatening them that much that it's just...
And I mean, they already know he's burnt someone's house down. He shot someone in the leg. Like, they know he's killed someone's dog. Like,
yeah.
And so in 1980, one of Ken's kids got in an argument with a grocery store clerk. Evelyn was her name. And the store was owned by Bo and Lois Bowenkamp.
That's a tongue twister.
Which Ernest was his name, but everybody called him Bo because his last name was Bowenkamp. Mm-hmm. So, Bo Bowenkamp. And his kid, one of the girls he had with Trina, so this is years later. They were, I think, maybe 6, 7 years old at this time. Like, yeah. They had accused the child of stealing candy.
His dad probably taught him.
Probably.
And so, and that's, you know, your kid.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
A 6 or 7 year old kid. Mm-hmm. I know I have definitely, like, grabbed a soda, and then you're young, and you don't think about it, and you don't put it on the register, and you just walk out, and your mom doesn't notice or something.
That, or you have a dad that has a friend working at a gas station, and he jokingly tells you to steal something, and you do, and then you have to go back and apologize for stealing something.
I feel like that stung you a little bit.
It wasn't me. Daniel took the credit for it. I said, give him the gum. He got in trouble. That's funny.
Yeah, I know my mom has definitely had to walk me back in because I've accidentally walked out with stuff when I was little, so.
I know one time I got traumatized that I took home the crayons from Olive Garden with the kid menu, and I got told that I stole it, and so I was like, I didn't want to be a stealer, and yeah, was not a good memory of mine. Yeah. Anyway, so, I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Your kid's stealing a piece of candy, return it, it's over with, you're fine, go home.
Yeah.
But Ken ended up stalking the Bowenkamp family, threatening them with a shotgun, which led to him actually shooting Bo in the neck.
Oh my gosh!
Bo did survive. He survived.
How?
Go, Bo.
Oh my gosh.
I'm hoping maybe he just, like, grazed him or something, because I don't know how,
A shotgun to the throat?
Yeah, like, shotgun
maybe, yeah,
flare out.
Was he far? Maybe he was far and just something...
Yeah, I couldn't find,
I
like...
I was gonna say, like...
If he was anywhere close for a shotgun, like, you got carotid arteries, you got jugular, you got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, so I'm glad he survived because that, you know, that is just a... hopefully a more solid case against this Ken. So Ken was arrested for attempted murder and was also convicted of assault. However, he was released on bail again. Pending appeal.
How many times does he have to get released before they stop putting a bail that he can pay?
What does this guy have in his pocket?
His lawyer must be very good.
Yeah.
Apparently, to be successful 21 times with the one guy, like...
We need to get that lawyer's name and look him up, see if he got anyone else up.
He's probably, like, 90, man.
Oh, I don't need him. I just want to look up and see if he got, like, if he was that good of a lawyer or whatnot.
So as soon as Ken was released, he went straight to the D&G Tavern. It was a local bar. He was armed with his M1 Grand with a bayonet attached, and he made threats about what he'd do to Bo again, or more.
Why would they even allow him to have a gun at this point? Like, maybe, like, you start restricting him?
Because technically he wasn't a felon, so technically he could still own a... That's, like, now... Just because it's against the law to have a gun does not mean it's going to stop criminals from having a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
true.
If they obeyed laws, then they wouldn't be criminals.
That is accurate. Nottoway County Sheriff Dan Estes suggested that the town should start a neighborhood watch. And for whatever reason, the appeal kept getting delayed at this point. And so...
Oh, they watched already. Yeah.
July 10th, 1981, the townspeople met at the Legion Hall to discuss the neighborhood watch. Ken was at the D&G Tavern with Trina, which I'm assuming it's not too far away. I'm guessing it's like kind of how like Main Street is set up here, like close proximities and a lot of buildings. And so the sheriff instructed that no one get into a confrontation with Ken. And so Dan, he had to leave to go and do some highway patrol, so he had left.
They're like, how about everyone get in a confrontation?
So the townspeople left the Legion and went to the tavern. Ken finished his drinks, bought a six-pack, left the bar, and got into his pickup. Once inside his pickup with Trina, he was shot at several times. Center fire rifle.
Oh, this is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought it was another person.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, my God.
No,
okay.
This is the bad guy.
Ken was hit by one center fire rifle and one 22 rimfire rifle.
So it was probably two separate people, or...
Well, that's definitely two separate weapons. Yeah.
Unless he brought two.
Two separate weapons. Suspicion.
But his pickup was lit up. And Trina did not get hit in this crossfire. And she was inside the pickup with him.
Dang.
So there was apparently 46 potential witnesses, including Trina. No one called an ambulance for Ken. Trina claimed to have identified the gunman, and everyone else was unable to name the assailant or didn't see who fired. The district attorney declined to press charges. The feds came in, but their investigation led to no charges.
Yeah. It's a dead end, basically.
Yeah, nobody said a thing. Fast forward a little bit, a couple years later, July 9th, 1984, Trina filed for a $5 million wrongful death lawsuit against the town of Skidmore, county of Nottoway, Sheriff Danny Estes, Steve Peters, which was the mayor of Skidmore at the time, and Del Clement, which was apparently the gunman that Trina had identified. This was settled out of court by all parties for the sum of $17,600. No one admitted guilt.
They still can't prove anything.
Still can't prove anything. And so Trina later on, she remarried and moved to Lebanon, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say like Lebanon. I'm like,
what? Yeah, I didn't know there was a Lebanon, Missouri either. And she ended up dying of cancer on her 55th birthday, January 24th, 2012. And so AMC has a very interesting series called No One Saw a Thing. And this town still to this day hates this guy. Absolutely hates him. And he was called the town bully for a reason.
To leave that kind of impression for this long,
like, decades later, and everyone still hates him.
Yeah.
And for an unsolvable reason, he never seemed to get punished for anything he did. They don't understand why, like, they even waiting for the legal system, even when how he was harassing the foster home, they ended up just giving Trina back to him because they were afraid of their own kids were going to get hurt. And
he was able to, like, manipulate all of them.
Yes. And so some of the locals had expressed that they would have ambushed him in his home, killed Trina as well, and set their house on fire.
What? Why kill Trina as well?
After he died, there was interviews on that AMC special of her, I don't know why they're so mean to him. He was so caring and loving. Like,
maybe it was like Stockholm Syndrome.
That's exactly what I'm thinking because
she couldn't see what he was doing. Like, she was blind to
it. It didn't make sense in her brain why anybody would want to kill her. But, I mean, technically he did take care of her and, like, provided a house for her and her kids. I don't know exactly how many kids she had.
Did we mention there was abuse in that one other than the of course?
He still, it was just...
He had her since she was a little girl. She probably didn't know anything. Yeah.
They're interviewing these people. I don't know exactly how many years ago it was that this interview was done, but still, when news people and journalists come to town, nobody wants to talk to them.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame them. Like, you've kept it for them. Just, also, can I say, I think our drinks are getting better because Leanza has been finishing them, like, more continuous, you know.
Bottom half was gross. This is the second drink I finished out of all, so.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to make them good for you. Someone also had remarked that you never know what you're going to do. Since the cops can't seem to do anything, they needed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so many in the town could hear gunshots echoing through the town, but they didn't go investigate. They either thought that Ken was wreaking havoc again, or maybe their wishes came true.
Mm-hmm.
So those in the town, people were going door to door and said, you can sleep tonight. You just need to stay behind us.
Yeah.
So all the people, they were afraid of Ken. They were legitimately scared enough to take it upon themselves to get rid of him.
Well, that guy was like a pretty, like, if you saw him coming up to you and he was threatening you.
Yeah, I mean, because he was a big, big, burly dude.
Yeah.
And Romaine Henry, the one that was shot and he got away because two raccoon hunters said he was with them. There's video of him and he has scars on his stomach. You can see like where he got hit with them. Like it's insane.
Dang.
And one theory that was going around in that AMC special was that they believed that he was the evil of the town, that the town would be so much better after that. But there, it had went into a couple other accounts that were happening. There was some, I think it was a teacher. I don't know if she got killed or she had gotten sexually assaulted, but they ended up blaming it on a African-American guy. I don't know if it was just somebody that was passing through town or he came to work for the summer. I don't know what his situation was, but they ended up hanging him in the middle of town. And I don't even know, they don't even know the full story.
If he even did it.
And so they were like, well, okay, Ken's gone. Why is all this bad stuff still happening? Like, it's not.
That's how the world is.
Yeah. And so it, I don't know, it was just, it's an interesting, I think it's like 6 episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend looking at it. And that's it. Like, this story, like, it's not an open and shut case, but there's nothing. There is
no information. It's totally a Fight Club. They all kept their mouths shut after.
Yeah, to this day, nobody says who pulled the trigger that day, but his pickup was pretty. I guess I could show you those pictures, huh? So that's Romaine Henry. That was the guy that he had shot in the stomach.
He looked like a nice man. He looked like the other guy from the other one.
The Princess Bride.
So that was Trina. Around the time that he died, that's pretty, like, all her interviews, she looks kind of like that. She had blonde hair. And that's Bo, who was shot in the neck. And so his tombstone actually even says, Beloved Ken. Ken Rex. And they would say Mac Elroy, and I don't know if it's just like a.
Like that region.
Yeah, because it's MC, and I always thought MC was Mick. Mick.
Me too.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's his tombstone. That was more towards the end of his life, like him older and.
Oh, he looks like the Godfather.
I was gonna say he kind of looks like the Elvis era type of thing. I think it's a side.
That was
Edwards.
Dang, he switched from looking like that Princess Bride guy to the Godfather. That's weird.
Sorry if you happen to be watching this while we're playing those parts.
No offense. I wanted to show you guys the pickup. It looks like a drive-by, like in the mob era.
That's crazy.
Did she not get shot at all?
Yeah, also the fact that they
had to have been good shots.
Yeah, but there was one source that I had found for a brief second, but then my laptop turned off, so I couldn't save it. I couldn't restore it when I turned it back on. But I think there was like 30 to 60 shots made, and he's only hit twice, so.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, that's it, guys. Any questions or comments?
I think we made all our comments. The story was kind of crazy. Even though there wasn't a lot to it, like, it's still, like, kind of unbelievable that it happened for such a long time.
And it makes me think, like, if there's that out there, what else is out there that you don't know? Like, stories that have been kept secret like that, like.
Yeah, and especially in that small of a town. Like, I think Farmington's a small town.
No, we're at least in the thousands.
Not as small as Cuba.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe Cuba size.
Mm-hmm. True, yeah.
Cuba might be smaller. Who knows?
Probably equivalent today.
Yeah.
We just want to throw it out there, too, that we know we make a lot of jokes, but we talk about some very dark topics, and we research very dark topics pretty much every day to get these stories out there. So we're not doing it to make light, we're just doing it so that we can sleep at night and it's not eating at our conscience, and it's just who we are too, so just throwing that out there.
Alright guys, so it is last call, and this Tropic Like It's Hot was pretty dang good. Leanne's even finished her drink, if that tells you anything.
The tropic part was good, not the hot part. Which means not the strawberry part wasn't that good.
Well, I think maybe like if we would have added the coconut cream to the strawberry part too and just sweetened it up a little bit, then I think both of them would have been like.
Yeah, it's definitely a, I don't know, I like having a sweet and a tart type of
taste. I feel like it would have been really good if I would have mixed it, but I didn't want to mix the colors because it looks so pretty. So.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, be sure to follow us on all social media platforms. All the sources, all the photos can be found on our website, the Conundrum Bar Pod. www.wixsite.com/TCBP. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram at the Conundrum Bar Podcast. Make sure to turn on notifications so that you're up to date on everything. Since, like last week, we weren't able to post a video or an episode, but we were able to update you guys. So in case you missed that update, you're probably not following us.
That is true. Yep. Leanne's job has gotten psycho, and we know we can't do it without her because she's the only reason people watch this show.
I don't think so. I think you guys are amazing.
And remember to always drink responsibly, never drink and drive. Remember to stay suspicious,
stay strong, and stay savvy.
Bye, guys.
Night. Bye.